concomitant to that, there's a reciprocal relation that was articulated in Lone Wolf, and that relation is that plenary power is attended by a trust or fiduciary responsibility to Indians, meaning that the federal government is obligated in its own law and in its own mind, self-appointed to fulfill a trustee status presiding over American Indian affairs and, most importantly, American Indian assets. One of the self-assigned prerogatives of this trustee relationship that it imposed upon the other nations within its claim boundaries is that it can change the form of indigenous assets. If your asset happens to be coal, it can mine it and change it into the form of money. Now, interesting thing about this particular trustee relationship that it's set up is that the trustee is also the buyer of that asset, which is being transformed. And it's being transformed into money at a price that trustee buyer is dictating. And Indians have no challengeable recourse under U.S. law to that. That's a colonial relation. Colonialism being defined in international law is the imposition of one nation upon another for purposes of its own profit, for purposes of its own dominance, its own sense of prestige, its own strategic interest, all of which will accrue at the direct expense of the colonized. I don't use the term nation in any rhetorical or figurative sense either. American Indians hold treaty relations with the federal government of the United States, 400 of them duly ratified by the Senate under the U.S. Constitution, Article 1, Section 10, as well as under international law, as is reflected in the Vienna Convention on the Law of Treaties. Treaty relations are compacts entered into only by co-equal sovereigns, that is, by fully sovereign nations. Every time the United States ratified a treaty with an American Indian people, it provided a formal recognition that the other party or parties to the treaty was a nation in its own right on an equal standing, entitled to the same rights as the federal government of the United States itself. So you have this recognition that there are nations other than the United States within the U.S. portion of the North American continent, all of which are subordinated directly to the presumed authority of the federal government of the United States for purposes of extracting their assets, their wealth, for the benefit of the dominant society to the detriment of the indigenous owners. And you have the catastrophic kinds of consequences to the people, to the population, that accrue from all such relationships. That's the health and demography data that I ran down a little bit before. That's the nature of the set of circumstances that was confronted by the American Indian Movement in the early 1970s, and most forcefully on the Pine Ridge Reservation in the mid-1970s, that led to the counterinsurgency war, that led to the fatalities that I was talking about and a number of other things that we'll get to, and led to the specific circumstance of Leonard Peltier. Because what it was that was being done was the assertion of the rights to sovereign control over lands, lives, and destiny that is inherent to the treated status of American Indian people and is inherent to the fundamental human rights of any people under extant international law. It's the assertion of those rights which precipitated the counterinsurgency war, which brought the repression down.